That will bug me if I don't. Well, thanks for coming tonight. We are so glad you're here. We're talking tonight about the fear of public speaking. There are lots of people that struggle with this. Most people do. It's a tough one. I have probably delivered close or maybe a little more than... Is that me buzzing, Robert? Okay, I'll keep going. Maybe they were just unplugging a guitar. So I have probably delivered. Is that my phone ringing? Okay, Ryan. Close to 2,000 messages, right? That seems like a lot. And I still struggle sometimes with nervousness or, you know, just kind of weird feelings about getting out in front of public. Now I'm getting probably comfortable in front of you guys. I don't get too nervous here at the Esquire, but like when they asked me to preach at the big church, I did that about a month ago, or funerals, or you know, sometimes weddings, or I'm in an uncomfortable environment, I get nervous. So it's something that all of us struggle with. Most people are not born with this great confidence to get up and speak to a group of people. As far as fears go, the fear of public speaking is ranked higher than the fear of death. More people fear speaking in public than they fear death, and for people that fear both, they rank public speaking higher than death. I took that out of my pocket, Robert. Maybe that will help. So I'm going to probably surprise you with tonight's main advice, and I'll get right to it, and that is if you are terrified to speak in public, don't stress about it. Don't stress about it. That's my best advice. One time, Moses found out he had this big mission in life, and that was to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the people go. And Moses was really stressed about that. In chapter 3 of Exodus, that's when he sees the burning bush and gets his mission. And then in chapter 4, Moses starts telling the Lord, wait, I'm not a very good eloquent public speaker. And the first thing the Lord tells Moses is, you just go and I'll tell you what to say. But Moses still stressed about it. And finally, the Lord told Moses to take his brother. If he didn't want to have to speak in public, he could take Aaron, and Aaron could do the speaking for Moses. And that turned out to cause some problems later on down the road. But the point is that God made a way for the mission to be accomplished and didn't necessarily force Moses in front of a lot of people. God knew how he made Moses. Maybe Moses wasn't particularly gifted in that way, but God made a way. So what I want to do is look at it like this, and that is God gave all of us some unique, special gift or ability. Maybe it's not public speaking. Maybe you would be terrified to get up here and just wave. But God gave you a special, unique talent or gift or ability to do something. Maybe speaking isn't your gift. I wouldn't stress about it then. Just do as well as you can what God made you to do. Do that. Concentrate on that. Sure, there are times when you need to speak up. There are times when you need to maybe say something if the opportunity comes or the situation does. But if you are uncomfortable getting up and speaking to a group of people, don't force it. Don't force it. It's uncomfortable for everyone. when you try to force a gift that God maybe is not your gift. It's not your thing. So just don't stress about it. God made a way for Moses to do the job without a particular gift. He'll do that for you. It's all good. When I think of speaking, one of the verses I always go to is in Matthew chapter 12. Now, the first part isn't really, look at Matthew, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" He's talking to a group of religious leaders there. But look what Jesus said the second half of this verse. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So that's a good principle. And what it says is what you usually say, what is natural to say, is whatever is in your heart, whatever is important to you, whatever you have invested in putting into your mind and your heart, that's what you naturally say. So if you're concerned about what to say or how it looks or how you're doing, the best advice I can give you to help your speaking, whether that is to one person or 1,000 people, just put good, wholesome things in your heart, and that's what you will speak. Heard some good advice once on a book. I read a book by a lady, Peggy Noonan, on public speaking. And she said, don't necessarily worry about how you're doing. Just worry about what you want to say, and it will come more naturally. So I try not to worry about how I'm doing, how it's hitting you. I try to think of a point and just do everything I can to be as clear as I can be. That's what I do. So that's what Jesus said. He said, just you end up saying, whether you want to or not, you end up saying what is on your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, it just flows out. So if you want to help how you say things or messaging, just put good things in your heart and it will be natural. Okay, so I'm not going to make you feel bad tonight if you are terrified to speak, but I would like to talk about gifts, because maybe God really never intended for you to speak in front of hundreds and hundreds of people, but I do believe God intends for all of us to use our special abilities that He gave us. He gave us those for a reason. I want to talk about a story in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 4, verse 8. Boy, I did it again, Becca. I gave Becca two wrong passages. Okay, it is, maybe try 2 Kings 4, 8. 2 Kings 4, 8. See, this is why I'm nervous when I public speak. This is why I'm nervous. 2 Kings 4, 8. That's it. That's it. We got out of that one pretty well. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." It's a great woman. Now, what makes this woman great? The answer is going to surprise you, I bet. "And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and when it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came in thither and turned into the chamber and lay there." She was a great woman. The Bible called her a great woman. And this is all that it's ever recorded that she did. She understood that Elisha was a prophet. And what made her a great woman is that she made him a room, and in the room she put a table and a candlestick and a chair and a bed and showed hospitality to this prophet. And because of that, the Bible calls her a great woman. Hey, when I get to heaven, I hope God calls me a great man. I know He probably won't. But I hope he does. And think of how special that would feel. And how the Bible called her a great woman was just showing kindness and a little thoughtfulness to someone else. So what she was doing, she had a gift. Do you know the Bible in the New Testament calls something the gift of hospitality? You show a way for someone in your life to be comfort, or just showing hospitality, or setting it up where they can come and be comfortable. That was her gift. I bet she never preached a sermon, showed an illustration, did all of the things that we think of, these great. She never split a Red Sea like Moses. She made a room and made it well and showed the prophet Elisha hospitality, and the Bible called her a great woman. That's fantastic. You know, lots of people are here at the Esquire just like the great woman. Long before I come out during Mike's Minute and say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. This is my favorite hour of the week. And I'm both of those. I am so glad you are here, and this is my favorite hour of the week. But long before I say that, there are great men and great women who put lots of time into Wednesday night. They plan music. They plan concessions. They organize the room. There's so much work by behind-the-scenes people that go into this that they are using their gifts. You are gifted. You are gifted. I say this almost maybe once a month, but I really mean it. You are special. You've got something that God made you to do that's really, really meaningful to other people. You know, lots of people use their gifts, and we may not see them. I do get nervous sometimes before I speak in public. I always wonder if I am going to say something the right way, but it's not horribly terrifying to me. It's not too bad. I've probably close to 2,000 times, so I know the routine. I know how to handle my feelings and emotions, and I know what to say. And so I will think of maybe one or two, probably just one point that I want to make, that I want you to remember. And I'll think of all the ways that I want to help drive that home. So it may be a story, or it may be something I bring out and show you. You know, all the crazy illustrations that we did. One time I put a board here, and I pretended like I was Peter, and I walked on water, right? So I make people nervous with some of my illustrations. But it's just because I want to do something to have you remember that. One time at the other church, I brought my mom's old typewriter up there and made a point, and it's because I want you to remember it. So that's kind of what I do. I'm used to it, and it's not too bad for me. Now, if I ask you next week, or if I point to one of you and I said, hey, we've got maybe 5 minutes left, will you come up and finish this message? Well, that'd be pretty rough for some of you, right? You wouldn't do that. Ray Roschlow is nervous back there right now, hoping I don't call him out here. We talk about it all the time. He would never come out and finish a message. God didn't make him that way. He kind of made me that way. I'm used to it. I've done it a long time. I'm not saying I'm great at it, but it's not too bad for me. Now, let me just tell you. If you told me I had to sing with the band, that would be horrible for all of us. I can sing okay. I could play the piano. I played the bass guitar in a country and western band before. I played tuba in the Summersville High School Marching Band. I brought people to tears with my playing in the Summersville High School Marching Band. I brought them to tears with my playing. And I can carry a tune, but just right now, the fact that I would get behind this microphone and start singing, I'm getting nervous right now thinking about it. I can't even sing some of the songs that Tim would sing. I can't even remember them. Like right now, my heart is beating at a different rate, trying to think through what it would be like if I sang a song. I could maybe play the piano. I could maybe play the bass guitar a little bit. But that's not who I am. And so if I got up here and tried to force that on you, it would be miserable for me and more miserable for you, right? It really would be. And so I said all that to say, stay in your zone. If you stay in your gifted zone, like that great woman, and just be hospitable, if that's how God made you. If God made you like Paige and Tim and Sherry and Lori to sing, sing. But stay in your gifted zone and don't stress if you can't do a gift that maybe someone else can do. Don't stress about that. Just stay in your zone because God wants you to have joy. So I want to look at two more passages to help make this point. There is a weird passage in Deuteronomy 28, and it talks about plagues and diseases and lots of curses that the Lord brings to the nation. It talks about tribulations and catastrophe. Sounds like a really uplifting chapter, right? So these plagues sometimes were unleashed in the Old Testament for lots of different reasons. And sometimes the children would get deep into something and God would unleash these plagues to bring them back. But in Deuteronomy 28, it is a weird reason. And at the end of all these plagues and curses, I'd like to read verse 47, and here's why God unleashed all these horrible things. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. Isn't that weird? He said the reason that all of these things are coming on you, children of Israel, is because you aren't serving with joyfulness. They were serving, they were working, they were doing stuff, but not with joyfulness. And God may not operate like that now. I don't necessarily think we get plagues and everything if we don't serve with joyfulness, but it does show how important it is to the Lord that we serve with joy. Serve with joy. Whatever you do, do it with joy, because that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to serve and where it would be a drag. When we were in New Jersey, we never had our own church. We were there maybe 12 or 13 years, and we never had our own building. And so we had to carry our equipment into a chapel every Sunday for 10 or 12 years. And so that got old. And I would be one of the ones that got up really early on a Sunday. I'd go to the office, load up all that equipment in the red trailer, go to church, unload it after church, load it back up, and then unload it. And it was hard. It was hard work. And one of the things that we had was the big black box with most of the equipment, you know, mic stands and the big screen. It was really heavy. And it had rollers, but there was a point in Bristol Chapel when there was a bunch of steps, and it was built before you had to, you know, you had elevators or anything, and you had to just lift that thing and carry it up. We called that thing the coffin, right? It was the coffin. And I wanted that coffin. I hated that coffin. I had a bad attitude. And one Sunday, it was that verse, serving the Lord with joyfulness, that just kind of got a hold of me. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to start carrying that thing up these stairs and down the stairs with joy. Because I started thinking about all the things that the thing in that box could help us do. It could help us get our message out better and put up a screen so we could put words up to sing. And I thought of it like that, and it became not as heavy And I didn't like it at first, but over time I changed, and it began to just feel better to me, and I could serve with joy. Now, over time, as the church grew, we got people there that was their gift, and they loved doing equipment and setting up, and someone took that over for me. Someone took over playing the piano for me, and they said, "Mike, we want you to just speak and meet people. That's all we want you to do." And I got to stay kind of in my zone, and they were in their zone. But as long as we stayed in our zone, and it kept the grumpiness down and let us serve with joyfulness better. Hey, I'll read one more verse, and we're done. Look, flip over to Colossians 3, right. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." As you serve, as you do things in your life that honor God, this is a great principle. Don't do it because you think I'm watching or someone else is watching. Do it because you know the Lord is watching. Do that. You know, you may do a lot of things in the Esquire, and if I see you do it, I will say, "Good job." You know, Rhonda and Gina were making that popcorn when I came in. Good job. I saw Sherry up here, practicing with the band and getting things ready and playing that keyboard. Good job. All y'all that I saw, good job. But, you know, maybe I didn't see you. Maybe I didn't know what you did tonight. You did something that I missed. And I want to tell you, good job. I want to see you and recognize you, but I may miss it. Never forget, the Lord sees everything. He gave you that gift. He wants you to use the gift. And when you do, He is pleased, and He sees that. As long as you always remember that I am in singleness of heart, fearing God with my gift, you'll be on safe ground. You'll be able to serve the Lord joyfully. Maybe that's coming up. And speaking, some of you I know are good at this, a lot better than I am. I know people here tonight who could get up here and just do a great job. Maybe that's not you. It's okay. Don't stress about it. Be like that great woman in 2 Kings and just do what God made you to do. That's a great place to be in life. Father, thank you for our great stories in the Bible that show us how we can please you and do what you made us to do. It's a blessing to see people doing what you made them to do. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Bring us back next time at the Esquire. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about the fear of failure. So come back, and we'll talk about that at the Esquire. Have a great week.